Narratives, welcome to Season 2, Episode 12 of Once Upon a Kill Team, the podcast about narrative play in Warhammer 40k Kill Team. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jason, and I want to talk to you about building stories around the gameplay in this grim, dark, terrible universe. In this episode, we discuss the launch of our three-game interlinked mission campaign, Escape from Pliskin Island. We also reveal the winner of our Christmas giveaway. Who could it be? And ask for help on the lore for the Hearts of Oak homebrew chapter, the podcast chapter.
I can't wait.
But before all that, of course, it is always Hobby Corner. What you got for me, Sean?
It's going to be a swift one. I haven't got anything.
Oh, man.
I know. I'm moving house literally the first week of the new year. So all my Warhammer stuff is in a cardboard box next to me.
Oh, it's like, I wonder if it's like Toy Story where they're all your miniatures are like having chats with each other.
I hope so. And that's not because they're all kept in separate boxes, so they're just having to talk through the Tupperware through muffled screams.
Yeah, imagine if they did Toy Story but with Warhammer figures where they're forever just like...
It would be an 18 instantly.
Torturing each other.
They did. That was Small Soldiers, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, there's one. Okay, kids, your homework this Christmas is to go and watch Toy Soldiers.
There we go.
Small Soldiers.
That's the one.
That's your homework.
I do, however, have a wish list for Hobby in the new year.
Yep.
Would
you want Uncle Santa to bring you?
Uncle Santa, can he please bring me a Boomdekker Snaz wagon? It's one of the orc vehicles, and I think it will go rather fetchingly with my Ash Wastes gang for Necromunda.
Have you been a good boy?
I've been an adequate man.
I think you hesitated there. Let's see what Uncle Santa brings you.
I also want some Dark Oath Savages, some Age of Sigmar. They all look like Conan the Barbarian.
Fantastic.
I think they'd look radical with a chainsword in hand.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, well, I hope you get
so
all
planning.
The wishes.
I've been planning. Thank you. What have you been up to?
Well, I was hoping to finish them by now, but I've been having fun attempting to print some homemade decals as the chapter badge for the Hearts of Oak. I just wanted to big thanks to Gregor from Grimdark Gamers, who's given me some absolutely solid tips on that, because it's a bit tricky. So I'm hoping I'll get there next week with that. But that's quite fun, and if I crack it, I feel you'll be seeing a lot of homemade decals in my future. Cause
oh, that's really cool.
Loads of interesting things I want to print up and stick to our models. So that's a little bit of out of my comfort zone. And then also not a kill team bit of hobby, but I've painted another Blitz Bowl team to go with your barbarian lot. This is the Norse. So they all got, you know, horned helmets and... there's a wolfen type character in there, and a beer ball. We all need
that's
one of those.
Cool.
that's what you want for the Christmas party. Possible cliche, but I've painted them in the colours of the Minnesota Vikings. So it's all purple and yellow, which is...
Oh, I bet they're striking.
Quite nice. I do need some advice, though. Have you got any thoughts? I want a pun name similar to the Minnesota Vikings, and I can't quite think of anything. So... If any listeners have got any ideas, obviously send them in.
I have a think on that. Probably at the end of the episode, I might have something for you.
Well, more like 2 a.m, you'll just go bah. Anyway, that's it from me. I've got loads of things on the table, but they'll have to wait for next time.
Yeah, of course. Games-wise, I'm going to be a disappointment again. I haven't done anything since we last played some Morok games.
Ah, but that was after the last episode, so you're good.
It was, just by a day. I'm safe. I'm safe.
Good. We've been campaigning. We'll get to that in a minute, I'm sure.
No spoilers.
Whereas I have been getting my Strike Team Justian. Strike Force Justian? Force, isn't it? Strike
I'll
Force
take
Justian.
Either one.
An outing, right? So I've had four games with them over the last week or so. So I played brand new to Kill Team, this chap called Matt. I think it was his second ever game. Let's say I did the lovely honourable thing and let him win. Let's just say that.
What a gentleman.
Did I let him win? Or did he? Was he just pretty good? He had Corsairs, though, which, as we all know, my nemesis team. Possibly I can't, by law, beat the Corsairs with whoever I've got.
It's actually a fact in the galaxy. It's a shame, but these things happen.
Although I did have a fun element where my captain, as the last operative in my team, went on a suicidal, bloodthirsty, rage-fueled... He was just a bit of a killer. I think he got four of them.
Yeah, he's pretty massive.
But he was the last operative, and he just couldn't get enough objectives. Yeah, it was super fun. Matt was super lovely. Hopefully I've given him a nice intro to the world of Kill Team.
He's going to think it's easy from here on in.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. He's going to think, I'm probably a top player. I've beaten this guy who's been playing for years.
Yes.
Little does he know. And then apart from that, I've been playtesting with a friend of the show, Nick. Big thanks to Nick. We've been playtesting the campaign, which we're going to talk about as the main element of the show. Again, brought Strikeforce Justian into that, and Nick brought his Nurgle legionaries, who were looking very Death Guard-y. So it was the Hero Box versus Hero Box.
Yeah.
So that's kind of hero v hero. And I would say, bearing in mind I have previously said I am not a Space Marine-y person. But isn't it nice playing just six people?
It's simple.
And this is a simple team. There really aren't too many clever things. Most people can shoot twice, you know, or fight twice, or the captain's just a bit of a beast. Anyway, super fun. If you're either a beginner or, and I think some of us all often come into this, we don't want to have to, you know, use all of our brain just to play a game of Kill Team, in which case Justian is quite a nice, you can relax. There's not that many things you could do.
Is it bad that I come to Kill Team to kind of switch off my brain and just enjoy something, and then there are people sweating with perspiration decisions, and I'm like, well, just going to charge up there, do a little fight, do.
Roll a lot of dice.
I love dice.
Look, you know, I'm with you. Anyway, so it's been fun. I thought I'd just give them a go and put them back in a box, but I've got a feeling we'll be seeing them again. We'll be seeing them again. That's pretty excellent. But we've got a new segment, because we don't get much of this, except we've had 4 months to have Kill Team news.
Hey.
What's our first bit of news?
Hot off the press, quite literally, in White Dwarf this month, we've got some jungle rules. We're going to get sued. Stop it there. Stop it there. What do we think? I'm sure I read them over on the day that it all went online, and I don't think I've looked back at them.
I mean, meh.
Yeah.
I'm being charitable here. I don't think anyone's ever going to play them, are they?
No. But if you do, tell us.
Let us know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is more for the narrative-y people. So this is, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you might be the person using jungle rules.
I did appreciate that they actually printed out cards. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, like a card.
And they did say you could switch it in with the Deception deck from Ashes of... not Ashes of Faith.
White Dwarf.
Is it Ashes of Faith?
No, it was White Dwarf Deception Desk.
Was it?
Deck. Now that I thought was really actually quite good.
So maybe you could mix the two in together.
Yeah.
Maybe you could play it on the new Beta Decima terrain, and you've got these sea creatures lurking just below the edges of the terrain.
Oh, hello. Yeah, okay.
Hello.
Right. Sea creatures. Oh, no. Okay, all right, you got me thinking. Right. I'm sure it goes with the many jungle terrain sets that they got on sale on the GW website. So
yeah, tons.
Okay, but honestly, if anyone uses this, let us know. We're intrigued.
Yeah, we'd love to read out a story involving them. That'd be sweet. But excitingly, Salvation has come in more ways than one. We've got a pre-order date.
What?
23rd of December.
Ah, just as I was settling into thinking it's going to be 2024. I mean, I suppose it's still arriving in 2024.
Yeah.
But we can, just in time for Crimbo Day, you can have a pre-order sitting on some GW server.
If you're twiddling your thumbs on Christmas Eve with nothing to do at 10 a.m. UK time, get pre-ordering. Because we're going to have to wrestle all the Eldar players who really want those new Striking Scorpions.
Well, you're one of those Eldar players who really want those Striking Scorpions, aren't you?
Yes, but I don't have a pre-existing collection.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah. All right, so you think you might bite on this one?
With a biting blade from the Scorpion Exarch, you bet.
I feel like I unwittingly teed that up for you. That was not in the script.
I've already been working on my Banshees, so I need some Scorpions.
Yeah, look, and it's confession time. Right, listeners, just don't pay attention, because I'm confessing my... I'm almost coming around to wanting some Scouts.
This is a confession.
I'm not a Space Marine person. I don't identify as a Space Marine person. You know, I'm better than that. I'm not bland. I've got personality. This is what I tell myself. So why am I going for arguably the blandest team ever to come to Kill Team?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. These are the boy novitiates. These are pre-Space Marine. These are technically a bunch of 18, 19-year-old boys running around with missile launchers and sniper rifles. So,
and they're trying to get all their badges, right?
This is Scouts.
This is my decapitation badge.
Yeah.
This is my medic badge.
Goes nicely next to making my third course of dessert badge.
Yeah.
That's the one I remember.
Helping the community badge and slaughtering Xenos badge.
Side by side. Wherever you're going.
Okay, so it looks like there's a possibility for us getting it. And it also means, I think several episodes ago, we said we might give you a review of Salvation. So that looks like it might even be in our future. But possibly
I may even give Jason the book to read.
Oh, this time. but possibly not our next episode, because we'll do a yearly roundup. But anyway, okay, that sounds good. All right. Killzone Beta Decima. We have a few rules for this now. The Swimming Pool of Death. It looks like it has a toxic sea mist. I feel I called this. I was really hoping it'd be some kind of bulletproof waves. So it looks as if you're on the ground level, you can't see very much across the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Which sounds good, except I also do remember many episodes I mentioned, this is after going on the Just Another Kill Team podcast, that Jason, my alter ego on the Just Another Kill Team podcast, ran an all-incursor Phobos team, and he was doing that before this terrain came out.
Yeah.
So I imagine he is, you know...
Ignoring obscurity.
Twirling his evil moustache and going, this has just been built for me. So, yeah, so we'll look out. So I've been wanting to bring my Phobos back, so this sounds a perfect time. And the other team I want to play more of, which I painted up recently, was the Void Boys troop.
Of course.
I'm all in on this new terrain. It looks great.
Jason, you're such a meta chaser. You're ahead of the curve.
No, I think it's that fashion thing. If you keep something in your wardrobe long enough, it'll become fashionable
again. That's
it. Kind of feel happens in Kill Team.
Oh, how exciting.
That's very good. That's not even that. We're not even at the end of the news yet. We've got a...
No.
What else we got?
Oh, my God. It was literally today. We got a data slate drop.
Woo.
I didn't care about a lot of it. Kelgor's got a bit of a buff. No. So the ones that everyone was scared about got a nerf. Don't ask me what. Commandos can only be sneaky gets once.
Yeah, and they can't change from conceal to engage.
Yeah, so you can't be that sneaky.
No chucking any dynamite, I don't think.
And then apparently you can't give one APL to the squig.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that anyway, so...
I was going to say, you thankfully never done it. Brilliant. You were headed so ahead. Yeah, well done. Don't worry about
and
a rule
then,
you can't
and then
do
they
now.
Did stuff about cults. No. And they did stuff. Big guys get taken down a peg, and it feels like everyone else got like a little touch here and there just to lift them a bit.
Well, some of my teams got amended, which is good.
Oh, sweet.
The Wormblade, which I've just packed up after doing the fantastic Ashes of Faith campaign with Sal, which I loved. I loved having a go at those guys, but they're by far and away my most played team, so I really need to give them a rest. But now, the Heavy Gunners get a suspensor. Nice.
For free. Nice.
For free. Yeah, just freebie. And the Cult Ambush has got a bit better.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's a lot better.
So well done. Well done them. Won't be using them for a while. But
I think your Sanctus got a boost as well.
That's right. Yes. Although I think it was aimed more at the Talon, the knife, the poison knife guy, which I don't think anyone has ever run.
No.
But it's because you can get two hits in now, so that's something.
Sweet.
I think it's the only operator that I've seen that has a 4-up lethal. Is there anything else with a 4-up lethal? Anyway, that's what his knife has got. It's a 4-up lethal.
I feel like there's a grenade.
He rolls a lot of crits.
Yeah. That's cool. The one I care about is my Felgors. Now frenzied people do count on objectives, but only for one APL.
If they really concentrate, they can do a thing.
Yeah. Oh no, they can't do mission actions, but they count as standing.
They can intimidate people.
Exactly. We just need three times as many to bully someone off a point.
Okay. Right. And this isn't news. Not at all news, but I've been thinking, and I haven't heard anyone say this, and I can't believe it. Somebody must have said it. Right. I haven't heard it. Flamers. We all agree they're rubbish, right? They suck.
Yeah.
No one takes them. But they should be good. They're terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Real life flamethrowers. Absolutely terrifying. And it's only just occurred to me, why aren't they setting people alight, or at least having a chance of setting people alight? So the idea is that they don't immediately do tons of damage, but there's a chance that they'll be doing damage on the next turn as well.
Yeah.
So there should be some kind of keyword of burn or a flame or something.
So the novitiates have the Inferno, which is similar. I think at the end of the turn, you have a stack of Inferno tokens on you, and there's a roll of the dice, I don't remember what number is, and they do an additional point of damage to you. But I think you want something that's at, like, at the start of your turn, if you don't do an action to put yourself out, you take damage.
Yeah, or there's a chance of it or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I only just thought about it. Surprised there isn't something there. It doesn't even sound like it would be a terrible, terribly complicated thing.
This is when you're calling something out ahead of before it happens again, and we're going to get some Catachan jungle fighters who have got like four flamers, and they're all going to have that exact rule on it that you've just said.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd love to predict something in Kill Team. So yeah, let's hope that's what we get. Cool. Well, that was the news. That's all from me, and it's all from him.
And that's all from him.
That's a two Ronnie's gag there for the older people. Okay, but we've been doing a campaign. The Once Upon a Kill Team campaign continues.
We have. We've continued. We're reaching the end of the Morok campaign. So Jason and I have continued with our two-person campaign with a battle of the classic kill teams. We've got the veteran guardsmen versus the commandos. And we've been working our way through all nine of the Morok narrative missions. We completed 7 and 8, which means we've only got the one left.
Woo-hoo.
But to catch you up, the orcs have had plenty of fun terrorizing these humies, but what could be more fun than seeing the base explode in a giant fireball? The knob has gotten hold of a mountain of dynamite, and the boys just need to sneak it in and see it all burn.
Now, the Vet Guard, their resolve stiffened by the Commissar, who sadly didn't get to shoot anybody, but that's my bad. have let Sergeant Nelson back in to command the platoon. So the commissar's gone. So game seven, it was demolitions. This is where the orcs need to attach explosives to many key points in the kill zone. This includes the four fuel tanks on the landing pad, which look pretty obvious, blowy uppy things. The Vet Guard, however, were desperate not to let them. And I think this was another game where the demo operative really had his eye in and was melter bombing these poor... Are they poor greenskins? They love it.
Why can he do it every single turn?
It's ridiculous. I don't know how
he's only carrying one.
Well, sure.
Anger.
It's never been nerfed. It's weird. It's never been nerfed.
Working as intended.
Anyway, if you can get a couple of, how do you get rid of a 10 model, 10 wound model? You melter bomb them. That's what you do. Very good. Easy. So it's not bad for the Vet Guard.
Yeah, the Greenskins managed to blow a couple of objectives up. Some unfortunate dice rolling meant that the Guards managed to keep the base intact. For now, that is. And that leads us on to Game 8, Infiltrate the Landing Pad. Recon Platoon have finally managed to call in a rescue team. Somehow the sneaky orcs have intercepted the message, and in an all-or-nothing operation, they plan to rush the landing pad and prevent these extra Yumis from arriving.
This was about as tough a gig as I've seen for the attacker in this game. You had to basically run across a large section of open ground to get to the landing pad. And I think I just shot you. It's really rough. It wasn't a great game, I would say. It was.
He rolled dice.
I rolled dice. I killed a lot of orcs. And I think I annoyingly did a thing where I spread out so that dynamiting me would only get rid of one or something. But it was.
I could dynamite, but I had to dynamite myself to dynamite you.
Oh, that was it. Yeah. anyway, this was tough. I mean, it kind of worked in our favor because you had a train to catch, but
yeah,
it was pretty much all done by turn three, I think. That was a tough gig.
It's really rough running from one corner of the board to the opposite, like the extremity corner of the board.
Yeah.
No cover.
But in the narrative of this is all pretty good. So we foiled the blowing up of the base. We managed to get our message out, and we managed to stop this Hail Mary of a, you know, rush the pad. And that leaves the last mission. What's the last mission?
Mission 3.3, Stealth Offensive. The enemy are out there, creeping through the shadows. You might not see them, but you can sense them. Let them get too close, and it will all be over, bar the screaming.
Except, I think our plan is I'm going to bring one of the Space Marine teams as the reinforcements. So
yeah,
the big guns have turned up. But not as big a guns as you're going to bring. Who's coming? I don't think they're creeping through the shadows.
You've just reminded me that I need to unpack them from the box that I've packed, but I'm going to bring my Orc Stodies.
Yes. Everybody's favourite team, including me. It's my favourite team. I think it would be really fun. The big knobs calling in the big guns.
Yeah.
So that'll be our finale. The recon platoon can have a breather. The Space Marines have turned up. quick response force getting in there. Now the question is, should I bring Phobos, Strike Team, Justian? What do you reckon?
I think Justian might be cool.
I've got to say, with two ups, the Phobos are great at getting objectives. They're just not very killy. And I've got a feeling they'll have trouble taking down your homicidal maniacs.
My golden boys. It may be best to go Justian, because then, you know,
we can have a captain on custodies fight then, couldn't
exactly.
We?
Exactly.
They can plasma charge. That'd be great. I can see it now. Right.
Anyway, I'm excited.
Look out for that one, listeners. Now, this is a lovely portion of the show. We have the mailbag. So this is our interaction with you, our beautiful listeners. And I want to thank everybody who responded and replied to our Christmas giveaway offer from the last episode. So we have a spare set of the core rules, full set of tokens, measuring tools, and a set of the original TAC Ops. And we asked, nominate a friend you want to get into Kill Team, and we'll send them this pack. And lots of you responded, which was very nice. And whilst I was at Bad Moon Cafe the other day, I got the very lovely Ben, one of the staff there, to draw the many names that we had. And drum roll, that if we can hear any drum roll, the winner is David, who is known on the Instas as War Daddy Miniatures, and he was nominated by his friend Model Painter 2020. That pack is already on its way to you. Enjoy. Hopefully that's a new person for Kill Team.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, that is jolly, jolly nice. It's very nice for us to give back to the community. God, I'm getting all teary. Okay. Right, but what else we got?
We need some more audience participation, because we've got some homebrew chapter help. Jason needs some help with the background of his homebrew Space Marine chapter. This is going to be the official chapter of the podcast, and therefore it belongs in part to you, the listeners. We have some baseline facts about this chapter, but we want your input to really flesh things out. Here are the things we know so far. We've got the chapter name. They're called the Hearts of Oak. The scheme, they've got a steel body with a blue-green shoulder pads, white Aquila, and white weaponry. Basically, the colors of our logo. The chapter symbol is an oak leaf. And I suggested that the scouts could be known as acorns or saplings. You know, divergent chapters do all the fun things. Newly qualified brothers go and plant a tree in the chapter's sacred forest. And the chapter takes a close interest or interferes with the Imperial Guard regiments in its sector, or ones that they just generally come across.
Okay, that's what we know so far, but there are plenty of unknowns. So, things we need help with. And by the way, you don't have to answer all of these questions. We just want you to respond with one or two of the answers to these. So, what home planet have they got? Do they have a home planet? Or are they on some large fleet ship, battle barge? If so, what's it called? I want a name of the chapter master, and the captain for Strike Force Justian. He's not going to be called Justian. We need a name for him. So we need a chapter master name, captain name. General naming theme. So I'm a big believer in doing these on a theme. So I've previously done chess grandmasters, characters from the book Bleak House, British admirals. What's a theme, a naming theme for this chapter? So, you know, give us that. That'd be great. Who are they a successor of? This doesn't have to be definite. Could be a rumor. Now, I've done Silver Skulls before. Doesn't have to be. It could be them. It could be someone else. So who might they be the successors of, rumor or otherwise? Now, they're definitely not going to be Chaos, but they're probably loyalist, but is there a good reason why they might be a renegade? Are they sort of fugitive? They're not bad, but
there's plenty of reasons.
They're on the run. If so, why would that be? I mean, the benefit in Kill Team for being a renegade Space Marine chapter is you can fight anybody for any reason. But I need a reason if we're going to do it. Which founding are they from? Okay, if you know your foundings, which founding should they be from and why? Maybe. Are they codex compliant? Are they, you know, up with Bobby Gillybuns, or are they, you know, veered like the you know, Space Wolves or something. Do they have a speciality or a quirk? Are they good at something specific? You know, are they just sneaky like the Raven Guard? Are they something else? Is there a quirk they've got? Perhaps something that makes them stand out. Right, this one I definitely want answers to. Do they have a grudge against somebody?
Ooh.
Is it a particular race, a chapter, part of the Imperium? Do they hate orcs? Something. And if so, why would that be? Do they have a chapter secret? All chapters need a secret, something that they want to keep from the wider world.
Completely.
Keep from the Inquisitors. What's their chapter secret? I mentioned the tree. I quite like the planting of a tree. But if that brother falls in combat, what happens? Do they chop the tree down and make it into a sculpture? Do they just let them grow? I don't know. Is there a kind of a forest of fallen brothers? Tell me what you think should happen with the tree.
Ooh.
Okay. Now, I've said they've got an interest in the Imperial Guard. This is partly because I like the Imperial Guard too, you see. So I like the idea of some sort of patron Space Marine chapter who interferes and possibly... But is it like they just want, you know, good troops around them? Or is there something sinister about it?
Dum-dum.
Let us know. Why the hell is this jumbled up bunch of people in Strike Force Justian there? That seems like, you know, it's an assault guy, it's some tactical squad guys, we've got the name of this captain, hopefully, but why are they in a group in a kill team? What's this kill team's story? I think we can give them a specific story. And these don't have to be real. Well, nothing's real. What am I on about? It doesn't have to be things that have been previously named as canon, but are there battles, skirmishes, things that we can... Feel free to make something up here. Is there something that, you know, storied background for this chapter? Some famous, you know, this could be why they've got a grudge against somebody. This could be part of their secret. Yeah. Probably trying to avoid really famous engagements like, you know, Battle for Armageddon or something. But
yeah.
Anyway, there we go. I'll put this out on the socials as well. But if you have anything here, just answer one or two of these questions. That would be amazing. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to pop these answers into my favorite AI machine and see what it spits out. And I imagine it'll be bloody awesome. And it'll be
madness.
You know, this will belong to us all. Okay. There you go.
So, as Jason said, you can contact us at onceuponakillteam@gmail.co.uk. It's probably the best because you're hopefully going to be writing a ton.
It's onceuponakillteam@gmail.com.
I'll take the line again. As Jason said, you can contact us at onceuponakillteam@gmail.com because I imagine we might be getting a fair few sentences coming in.
Lovely.
On to the main topic of the show, I think. And Jason, you've been spoiling us this month. Do you want to tell us what it is you've got in store for us?
Well, I haven't spoiled you yet. But so some time ago, we had a fantastic episode where we asked for audience ideas on the future of narrative, and you lovely people gave us lots of lovely answers. And a couple of things particularly stood out for us on that is that in campaign games Kill Team, there were some things you wanted. One of them was where winning a game means something. So it should have a positive consequence for the winner. You know, I can understand that, which currently you don't really have in the current Spec Ops rules. Quite a few people like the idea of missions that link together, you know, something from one mission links up with something that happens in the next one and has a consequence. So that's quite nice. And something that a few people have mentioned to us, you know, either through messaging or elsewhere, that there really aren't that many self-contained, ready-to-go campaigns that you can just pick up, read a background, here's some rules, off you go. You can either play,
yeah,
you know, with your buddy or perhaps do an event with. There just aren't, there's a lot of things you'd have to do yourself if you wanted to do one of those. So this is our attempt to try and kind of answer those wishes. And we've come up with a three game, so nice and short, three game campaign called Escape from Pliskin Island. Feel free to let me know if that means anything to you. Right, do you want to set the scene for us?
I will. At the heart of the Denorian sector, the world of Serpens Prime has been ravaged by war for many decades, and only anarchy and despair reign amongst the ruins. However, rumors have come to you that ancient and fantastical artifacts can be found on the long abandoned Pliskin Island. Your kill team has been drawn, or ordered, here to secure these relics, defeat any hostile forces, and escape the planet.
Okay. Now, hopefully that's vague enough that you can build your own background as to why your team is there. And as always, I think if you ever play this, we very much encourage people to write their own little background as to why they've turned up.
Completely.
As ever with campaign stuff, you build a legal team, so not a roster, just a basic team. I've suggested that you just pick one strategic asset for the whole campaign. Remember, there's only three missions. 10 equipment points. Unlike regular spec op, I've just said just change your equipment to whatever you like between games. I think I've assumed thematically that there is a, you know, you've landed on a ship and there's a big armory there with all the stuff in it. And we're not using requisition points in this campaign. For experience and casualties, now I've tried to not be too prescriptive on this one. I think there's three ways you can go with this, and it's just your choice. And if you have a friend or groups, you can just decide amongst yourselves what you want to do. If you can't be bothered to do any admin, or it's just not your jam, or it just sounds like a bit much, too much work, I'd say just don't worry about it. Don't worry about experience points. Don't roll for casualties. Just thematically, you've got a large pool of operatives somewhere from your ship that you can use. There's plenty of things to do in the campaign to keep you going. So if XP is not your thing, don't worry about it. Something we've been doing in our campaign, which is after each battle, just award an operative with a battle honor. And don't worry about casualty rolls. Just everybody survives. There's only three missions. You're only really going to get a chance to do two battle honors, because the third game, you won't be able to do anything after the end of the third game. So, you know, just give yourself a battle honor. Or if you really like, as I have done, really like doing that nitty gritty, you can do the full XP, except this will be an accelerated experience points. So it'd be two experience points for a kill. Well, for killing anybody, two for getting a VP and so on. So, and then you can roll on casualty tables after the battles and things like that. So you can evolve and do the full immersive thing if you want to. So choose your poison. There's three options there. Choose how involved you want to be. Again, I'm trying to sort of slimline some of the spec op stuff here. So I'm just suggesting if someone is slain, just replace them with the same operative. But obviously, if you're doing XP, XP will be nothing.
Reset.
You can substitute one operative with somebody else for each game. Again, if you're doing XP, XP will be at nothing. And the other pre-game thing to do, and this is the next big element that's new, is choose one of your operatives to do a hero quest. Do you want to read out hero quests?
Right. Hero quests. So, each game, one of your operatives will attempt a hero quest, a personal goal that they try and achieve in the game. A different quest and operative should be chosen each time, and neither should be used twice. Secretly note down the operative and which quest they're going to attempt before the battle. So we've got six quests here. We've got Assassin, in which you need to the secret operative you've chosen, they need to kill the enemy leader. Number two is killer. Your chosen operative needs to incapacitate two or more enemy operatives. Number three is infiltrator. Your operative needs to exit through via the enemy's board edge. And if you do remove them from the board, they don't count as being incapacitated. Number four is operator. You need to score two or more VP from TACOPS with this operative. Number five is dueler, which is fight two different enemy operatives in glorious melee combat. And number six is scout, which is during the course of the game, this operative needs to start its turn within 2 inches or circle of both side board edges. So they need to kind of zigzag their way across to kind of cover as much ground as possible. And for doing all that work, just one of them during game, you get your quest reward. If an operative completes their hero quest, immediately award that operative 3 experience points and give the operative an item of choice from the faction's rare equipment list. Note that this does not count towards their equipment points limit. A piece of rare equipment can only be chosen once, so no duplicates on the team. And that operative keeps them that item for the rest of their I've got a dry throat. That operative keeps that item for the rest of the campaign. If they're slain, the item is lost. The item cannot be transferred to another operative.
Okay, so hopefully that's cool. That's a bit of fun. And I have to say, when we playtested it, it wasn't always easy to get, but it was very rewarding when you did. And you immediately get the bit of rare equipment. So if you get it in the middle of the first game, you'll suddenly find yourself, you know, with a bit of equipment. Okay, so the missions. So I've intentionally written this so we don't tell you how to set up. I don't know what equipment you've got at homes. So we've given a bit like in the Critops pack, we've given the layout of objectives, but it's up to you with whatever terrain you've got to make an appropriate kill zone. So we'll leave that to you. So the first game is Battle of the Cognitum Arcana. In the desolate ruins of Pliskin Island, there stands a once majestic structure known as the Cognitum Arcana, the sprawling library dedicated to the pursuit of knowledge and the preservation of ancient tomes was a beacon of enlightenment in times long past. Within the library's ruins, data towers rise like monolithic sentinels, each housing an immense collection of crystalline data stacks. These towers, once vibrant with the hum of information exchange, now stand silent, covered in a thick layer of dust and decay. Activate the data stacks and find intelligence about the artifact's whereabouts at all costs. Gather your troops and get ready for battle. So the goal here is you've got to try and find the location of these artifacts, and it's the library that's going to tell you. There are 6 objectives. Both teams can, if they can control an objective, can search one of these data stacks. And they find, if they do so, they get an intelligence point, and a couple of victory points. So, and at the end of the game, the number of intelligence points will be carried through and important for game 2.
Ooh.
So, do you want to read out game 2?
Game 2, Slaughter in the Vaults. Amongst the shattered facade of the war-torn Pliskin Island, a clandestine network of hidden vaults lies concealed. Remnants of a time long forgotten, known only to librarians of the Cognitum Arcana. These subterranean chambers were constructed long ago by a cabal of rogue traders. Seeking to safeguard their most prized possessions from the ravages of war. You have clues to find the precious artifacts in Pliskin Island's vaults. Rival groups are not going to make this easy, however, so prepare for danger.
Okay, so each of these 6 objectives contains 1 artifact and it is up to you to find as many of these artifacts as you can whilst, you know, fighting the other side and trying to get them to not find any, very many. And when you control an objective, you roll 2d6, and on a 10 plus, you find an artifact. However, it's plus one to that roll for every intelligence point you got in the first game.
Ooh.
So the more intelligence points you get in the first game, the easier that dice roll is going to be. And I can tell you, when I play tested it, I missed one. Which was grim, because I really fought to get on that objective. And this, I'm way too pleased with myself on this one. I've created 13 artifacts that can potentially be found. So what I'm suggesting is, after the battle, when you've gathered these artifacts, you get a deck of cards. You use all of one suit, shuffle them, and then deal one for every artifact that you found. And then on the chart, you can see what you found. Do you want to read out just one of them, maybe?
Yeah, let me randomly select one. Let's go for...
Pick a card, any card.
Let's go for number four, the Celestial Anvil. A mythical anvil said to have been crafted by the Omnissiah. It possesses the ability to forge weapons and armor with unparalleled quality. The Adeptus Mechanicus believes that using the Celestial Anvil will create blessed war gear that can turn the tide of battles in their favor. So the game effect is that the holder chooses one of their weapons, and until the end of the turning point, they can increase the number of attacks from that weapon by one, and the critical damage by one as well.
And there's 13 of these lovely things. I won't do many more now. So if you want to find out what they are, you'll have to
go and have a look.
But I'm quite pleased with myself. very un-British of me to say that. So game three, Escape Pliskin Island. Disaster. Your atmospheric vessel has been sabotaged.
Oh, no. Dum-dum-dum.
Unless you find a way back to your orbiting starship, you are stuck in this hellhole and will fail your mission. You remember from searching the library that an ancient imperial teleporters may offer an escape. As explorers navigate this zone, the working teleport terminals offer opportunities for both escape and discovery. While the faulty Nexus presents a risky gamble for those desperate or daring enough to attempt its unpredictable transportation, the ruins with these enigmatic relics stand as a testament to the technological prowess of a bygone era, now lost in the annals of the Imperium's tumultuous history. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Get as many of your team, and more importantly, the artifacts, back to the mothership. The technology here is fragile, so waste not a second. Okay, so in this mission, there are four teleport terminals, kind of in the middle of the board. Mm-hmm. You can teleport from each one per turn. You can do a maximum of three people. It's two APL to trigger it, though.
Ooh.
And on every turn from turn two onwards, one of the power is very fragile here. The power to one of these terminals is going to go. So this starts with four. On turn two, there'll be three. On turn three, there'll be two. So don't hang about is my tip. And this is the mission where you can use the game effect of your artifact. Some of those are quite fun. Go to a planet, find where the stuff is, pick the stuff up, and get the hell out. Couldn't be simpler, Sean. Couldn't be simpler.
I wish I got to do the playtesting. It sounds great.
We should do it. So how do you win this campaign? Now, if it was up to me, did everybody have fun? Yes. Then you've all won. However, who's the winningest? That would be the next question. So if you win a game, you get a campaign point.
Mm-hmm.
Each artifact you get off the planet is another campaign point. And each hero quest you complete, you get a campaign point.
Ooh.
Most campaign points wins the campaign. Very simple. So here we have incentives, I hope, to win the games. There's consequences for what you do. But you can concentrate on winning the game, or you might want to concentrate on getting your hero quest. Not always compatible.
No.
So there you go. Very simple. We'll be posting this about, I'm sure. We'll also be attaching the narrative cheat sheet that Sean created a little while ago. So that has tables for casualty roles, battle honors. Yeah. There's a space for putting your names of your operatives and for recording your XP and stuff. Dead handy, absolutely dead handy. So we'll be attaching that as well.
I'm curious, in your playtesting, who won?
Oh, I played Nick. Who do you reckon? Which one of us?
Who won morally?
Which one pre-measured 100 things, and I never pre-measure anything?
I feel like you gave that one away.
But I would say the bearing in mind I was up against Nurgle legionaries. Strike Team Justin, I don't think were outmatched. I think.
Oh, fantastic!
So I think if I'd played a little bit better, I'd have done all right. Between us, we only did one hero quest. I did a hero quest. Because on the third mission, if the guy with the artifact or the operator with the artifact gets incapacitated, they drop the object and someone else can pick it up. So there's plenty of chance to essentially mug someone for their artifact.
And steal it,
which did happen. So we had a bit of that. Good fun. And just some thanks. Huge thanks to Nick. He was really helpful with the playtesting. He's great at this kind of stuff. I just also want to thank Rob. That's Fodzilla, who was on our Acolyte episode. What a guy. He gave me some fantastic tips and was really kind enough to give me a once over of this. So big thanks to him. And of course, Sean, thanks to you. Really. Yeah, what a team. What a team.
I'm not sure I contributed that much.
Look, it all counts. You got my back. So that's all very good. Look out for that. Just a bit of fun. So our Christmas present to you guys.
Yeah.
Ahead of the new campaign that apparently we're going to get in the Salvation era or the Beta Decima era.
I'm excited.
Yeah, big map. Anyway, that was our main thing. Hope you guys can enjoy that. And what next?
Well, next time on Once Upon a Kill Team, we'll have our Christmas and end of year roundup of the podcast and the state of Kill Team at the moment.
Yeah, we'll do team of the year, game of the year, what our favorite hobby was. it'll be all killer,
so
no filler.
Wholesome. Exactly.
If what you heard on this podcast sounds even remotely interesting, subscribe and tell your friends. And for every subscription to the podcast, your scouts grapnel their way up the gantry to secure a vantage point.
If you have a few spare pennies and would like to support the show, you can do so through Ko-fi. There's a link in the show notes. Once Upon a Kill Team will always be free, and any help you give goes towards making the podcast better. We really do appreciate it. I'd also like to add that this is where you're going to be able to find our narrative cheat sheet and the rules for escape from Plisken Island.
Yep.
So find us there.
Give generously. Thank you for joining us on Once Upon a Kill Team. Just remember, it's not whether you won or lost, unless it's the campaign we just spoke about. It's whether your striking scorpions lash out from the shadows, blast the enemy in the face, and whilst they are distracted, slice them in two with a perfectly silent chainsword and slink back into the darkness. See you next time.